Let's turn, please, to the book of Judges again, chapter 13. Judges chapter number 13. We'll read together the word of the Lord from verse number 1 of Judges chapter 13. And just to refresh ourselves, we'll read some of the words that we've read already. Judges 13, and we'll read down to the 14th verse. Judges 13, verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, unto the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. We know the Lord will bless the reading of His public, the public reading of His own precious and infallible word to all of our hearts. Now we'll just seek the Lord together and ask Him for His help and for His blessing. And we encourage you to pray with us and to keep the Word of God open before you as we consider God's truth together. Father, we pray now that Thou wilt come and speak to all of our hearts. Send Thy Spirit, O God, to make the Word of God to be a reality within our minds and within our hearts and within our souls. I confess, Father, my need, and I give myself again to Thee, body, soul, and spirit. And I ask, loving Father, that Thou wilt speak to every waiting heart just now. May we hear from God this morning, and may what we hear be written upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. May it be put into practice, and may, Father God, our lives be a reflection of what the Word of God would have us to be. So, Lord, lead us on with Thee. Grant the anointing of Thy Spirit in the preaching and in the hearing of Thy truth, we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. One area that is clearly under attack in society today is the home life, the marriage life, and the relationship that children have to their parents. We're told this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And things like divorce and delinquency are on the rise daily. And greater tragedy still is that many of these things are now prevalent and just as common within the church of Jesus Christ. Now, being a husband and being a father, or being a wife and being a mother, brings a huge challenge and a huge responsibility. And in raising children, we are dealing with a depraved nature. We ought to always remember that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And within the human heart, from the cradle to the grave, unless there's the regenerating power of God, we're dealing with the seedbed of all sin, the human heart. And the heart is deceitful. And in this heart of mine, without the restraining and without the redeeming grace of God, there's the potential for all sins that are known to mankind. We cannot regenerate or quicken the hearts of anyone, not even our children, but we all have the responsibility to bring up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And like Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, as we read of them in Luke chapter 1, verse 6, to walk before the Lord in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. None of us are faultless. None of us are perfect. But it is possible with God's help and with God's grace to be blameless and to do our best before God and by our children. Now, whenever a father or mother becomes a parent for the first time, as we have discovered ourselves, it's a very daunting thing. Leaving a hospital with that little bundle of joy that we often talk about, but it is a bundle of trouble at times as well. It brings its own trials. It's a very daunting thing to bring a child home for the first time, changing nappies, filling bottles, feeding babies. It's a very real trial. And we all put up the L plates for the first time and perhaps never really take them down again. People that are in their 70s and 80s tell me that they still feel a responsibility towards their children. I heard a man giving his testimony recently, and he was in his 90s, and he said that he still feels like a parent, and his youngest child is now in his 70s, and he still feels a weight of responsibility to bring up his children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So it's something that never leaves us. And here in Judges chapter 13, we have Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. Manoah and his wife about to become parents for the first time. And in verses 8 through to verse number 14, we have the prayer and the desires of Manoah. And I want to look at these verses and bring out some principles for the raising of children. And I want to bring our thoughts around the words at the end of verse 8 and at the end of verse number 12. Whenever Manoah prays, he entreats the Lord, "Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And then in verse number 12, "How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" So here's a man that comes before the Lord. He entreats the Lord. He pours out his heart. He knows that his wife's about to give birth to a little boy. And he knows that principles have been laid down, but he's just expressing his heart's desire. What shall we do? How are we to raise this boy? How are we to govern him? How are we to instruct him, lead him, guide him, discipline him? All these different things. How shall we raise the child? What shall we do unto him? And I want to discern just some principles for the raising of children from verses 8 down to verse number 14, all from the prayers of Manoah, the father of Samson. First of all, I just want to say something very simply and briefly about Manoah's interest. Manoah's interest in raising his son. This may seem all too obvious, that we're saying that Manoah, as soon as he hears that his wife is going to conceive and bear a child, that he shows a great interest in this. And he's interested to know how he should raise the boy to a standard of truth and a standard of righteousness. Now, this may seem a very obvious observation to make, but sadly, it is an observation that is not seen in the lives of many parents in our province today. There are many parents that let their children do whatever they like, and children now rule the home instead of the father and mother governing the home. We see this in society. Children disobedient to parents, children just going their own way and doing as they will, and no restraints or no instruction or counsel or godly advice being given to children. And while most parents would profess to love their children, sad to relate that a lot of parents today show very little interest in the spiritual well-being of their children, not only in society, but also in the church. Now, Manoah does not wait until Samson is 16 or 17 or 18 or 21 years of age before he asks the Lord for guidance. What shall I do now? I'm sure he did do that, but before the child is even born, he's asking the Lord for guidance. He's showing an interest in the spiritual well-being of the son that is to be born. Now, many parents today, Christian parents included, are interested in their children. That's a good thing. They're interested in the education of their children. They want to see their children doing well in primary school, doing well in secondary school, doing well, going to university, getting all these qualifications, and that's a good thing. It's good to be interested in the education of their children. But so often these things take precedent over the spiritual well-being of children. And not just education, but other things that are less legitimate. Things like sport, entertainment, music, all these different things, and they take precedent over the spiritual well-being of our children. Now, we should take interest in the things that our children are involved in, whether it's in school or whether it's something that they're interested in, something legitimate. It's good to encourage your children. It's good to be there for them. It's good to show an interest in their young lives and to encourage them to go on and to pursue things that they're good at so long as they are legitimate. But sad to relate that very often these things that can often be legitimate take precedent over the most important things, the things that are spiritual and the things that are eternal. I was listening at a meeting recently to Joyce Walsh, one of the children's workers in her church, and she said something that I thought was very sad. And she talked about children's meetings and children's missions and all sorts of different outreaches to children within the church. And she said it is so difficult nowadays even to get Christian parents to send their children to such meetings because virtually every night of the week there's something on. And I know that we can certainly encourage our children in other things, but she says, you know, it's so sad that whenever you mention a children's meeting, well, that's the night that this is on, that's the night that they go to drama, or that's the night they go to ballet, or that's the night they go to karate, and all these different things, and they seem to be so more important than the spiritual well-being of our children. But Manoah didn't have that attitude. He showed an interest in the spiritual well-being of Samson, even before he was born, and he recognized the principle laid down in Psalm 127:3, that children are an heritage of the Lord. You see, God is now going to give Samson a boy. And if God has given us children, we need to recognize that those children chiefly belong to the Lord. God has given us our children. They're the Lord's heritage. And we are responsible and we are accountable to honor God in raising our children. And so I would encourage every parent or parent-to-be, every young couple as well, to show an interest in the spiritual well-being of the children that God has given us and may give us in the days that lie ahead. Because if we don't show an interest in their spirituality, the world, and the devil certainly will show an interest in their spirituality, seeking to thwart it, to crush it, to hinder it, and to hold them back. Manoah showed an interest. But Manoah here, you'll notice as well that he also implies his own inability in raising his children. First of all, he shows an interest, but I believe that verse 8, teach us what we shall do, and verse number 12, how shall we order the child, indicates and implies Manoah's inability. He realizes that he's now out of his depth, as I'm sure every parent here this morning realizes. Whenever things just don't go right, and we see that principle within our children, and we love them, and we want what's best for them, and we know the mistakes that we have made, and I know the mistakes that I have made, and I know that my children will make the same mistakes if the Lord doesn't hold them back and the Lord doesn't restrain them. I certainly see my inability. Certainly my inability to convert them. Certainly my inability to save them. I know that I'm absolutely at a loose end as to saving our children. Only God can do that. But even our inability to make the right decisions and to influence our children for God and for good. And Manoah feels this as well. How shall we do this? We're going to have a boy brought into the home. We've never done this before. We're beginners, and he feels his inability. I wonder, do you feel your inability, father or mother, this morning, and your need for guidance? And I think it is a good thing, and God respects this, and God honors this whenever we acknowledge our own inability. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Verses that hold good for every aspect of life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, the lovely thing about Manoah is that he and his wife, they work as a team, as a partnership. You'll notice many times that the personal pronoun is used here in this portion of Scripture. Look again at the second part of verse 8. Teach us, not just teach me, but teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And then again in verse 12, how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? So Manoah is not working independently of his wife, and Manoah's wife is not working independently of Manoah. And don't forget that Manoah and his wife are living in days of apostasy, days of anarchy, whenever every man does that which is right in his own eyes. That's the key text, virtually, in the book of Judges. But Manoah and his wife are not doing what is right in their own eyes. They're seeking to do that which is right in each other's eyes, and above and beyond that, what is right in the Lord's eyes. And here is a couple that are honoring God and honoring each other in the raising of their children, and they acknowledge their inability. Now, I think it's lovely that whenever it says in verse number 6, the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me. Verse number 8 says, then, as soon as Manoah hears this, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us. He believes his wife's testimony. You see, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:7, love or charity believeth all things. Now, Manoah wasn't there whenever this angel of the Lord came and visited his wife, but he doesn't for one moment doubt the integrity of his wife's testimony. He has faith in what she says. And he's not greedy for God's blessing for himself, independently of his wife. But he says, let the man of God come again to me. No, to us. Let us experience this together, and let us enter into the blessing of the Lord together. It is a good testimony, isn't it, to the integrity of Manoah's wife and also to his trust in his wife. So you see Manoah's interest, his inability, but notice as well, very simply, his intercession. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord. What's he doing when he says, teach us what we shall do? And how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? Very simply, he's praying. He's interceding for the life of his child not yet born. He's praying. And so for Manoah, prayer was the first thing that he set himself to in raising his son. And I would suggest to us all this morning that the principles haven't changed and that prayer is the most important thing that we can do. But it's important to realize that it is not the only thing that we can do. Don't we often say, well, I suppose the only thing that I can do is pray? Well, that's the most important thing we can do, but it is not the only thing. But we, yes, certainly do need to pray. In verse number 8, it is evident that Manoah is praying alone. His wife has come to him and told him her testimony. The man of God has come to me, given this wonderful promise, I'm going to have a child. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. So he gets alone with God and he asks God for guidance. And then it says in verse 10, whenever the angel of the Lord came to Manoah's wife, she made haste and ran and showed her husband. So in verse 8, Manoah has been alone praying. And then in verse 12, Manoah has gone with his wife and they're praying now together. So there's private prayer in the closet, seeking the Lord privately on his own for his child. And then in verse number 12, there's a man and his wife praying together for the spiritual well-being of the child. And how true it is, the old phrase that some of us maybe know, that couples who pray together stay together. And so Manoah and his wife are a couple that, while Manoah, if you look at this chapter in its entirety, he displays a lot of spiritual ignorance at times. He also displays a level of spiritual immaturity. And it seems that Manoah's wife, as we'll discover in the weeks that lie ahead, is more spiritual than Manoah. But nevertheless, he takes a place of leadership in praying with his wife for his children. I wonder this morning, do you pray with your wife? Do you pray with your children? Do you pray for your children in the closet and at the family altar? Praying that the Lord will give wisdom. Praying that the Lord will give grace. The Lord will give guidance. Praying that the Lord's Spirit will work amongst our children. Does God see us in the closet? Does God see us at the family altar? But do our children see prayer as being important to us? You see, whenever Samson grew up, and we'll know that Samson made mistakes. But as we said before, he could never point to inconsistencies in the lives of his parents for the mistakes that he made. From before he was born, prayer, intercession was a priority for Manoah and for his wife. Christian father, Christian mother, are your children aware of you personally having a quiet time with the Lord? Are there times whenever your son or daughter maybe comes to you, mother, and say, where's daddy? Oh, he's reading his Bible. He's praying. Daddy, where's mom? Oh, she's with the Lord. Where are you going tonight, dad? I'm going to the prayer meeting. Dad, why are we going to church early? Because there's a prayer meeting on. And son, for us, prayer is important. Do our children see this in us? Because it is true that a river never runs higher than its source. And the father and the father is the chief, the source, I believe, of leadership in the family. And the mother too. And if they don't see prayer in us, and they don't see Christianity be important to us, folks, it'll not be important to them. We have an example to set. But notice as well Manoah's entreaty. What's he really praying for? Very simply, teach us what we shall do. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? He was specific. He's just simply saying, Lord, what do you want us to do with the child and for the child? And regardless of what the Lord tells Manoah to do, he's willing to be obedient. You see, if we're not willing to obey the Lord, there's really not much point praying. There's no point coming and saying, Lord, what should we do to the child? And then the Lord says, well, this is what I want you to do. Oh, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. Manoah here is in earnest, and it says in verse number 9, and God hearkened. God heard. It doesn't say God heard and answered, because whenever the Bible says God hearkened, it is indicating that hearing and answering is the same thing. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Now, Manoah's wife is just going through the mundane things of life. Now, she's just a woman that you would read about in Proverbs 31. She's industrious, she's busy, she's active, but she's in the field just going through the mundane things of life. And yet that's where God came and met with her afresh. And I'm so thankful that the Lord hasn't changed. And He often meets us in the mundane things of life. He meets us if we're industrious, if we're busy. The Lord still understands that. And the Lord comes and the Lord meets with us. He's not bound by time or by space. And as soon as the Lord comes, the woman in verse 10 made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, a man of God hath appeared to me that came to me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife. Now, Manoah doesn't experience what she experienced that particular time, but he doesn't allow spiritual jealousy to cause him to stay where he is. Again, he takes his wife's word for it. He believes her record. He believes her testimony. You know, many people would have been stubborn. And many people would have said, well, how come God's only speaking to you, but he's not speaking to me? No, Manoah follows after his wife. And for the sake of spiritual pride, many people miss out on God's blessing. They miss the experience rather than entering in. Because the Lord waited. And the Lord tarried. And the Lord brought Manoah and his wife together. And Manoah, then he takes the leadership and says, now let thy words come to pass. In other words, Lord, your will is all that matters. All I want is for your plan and purpose to be fulfilled in our home and in our family. He does not add to God's word, and he does not take away from it. And he repeats the request that he's offered in the private place in verse 8, publicly, before the man of God, before the angel of the Lord, and before his wife. It shows his earnestness. He's praying continually that the Lord will lead and the Lord will guide and the Lord will direct. And so in response to Manoah's interest, his inability, his intercession, and his entreaty, we see lastly Manoah's instructions for raising the child. Look at verse 13. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. And he just repeats what has already been said in verses 4 and 5. So the Lord quite simply reaffirms what he has already said. And so it's not some new principle or some new thing that Manoah needs or Samson needs. It's the same thing that God has said before. God's principles and God's truth is unchanged, unchangeable, and unchanging. And the thing that is needed today, I believe, is the same as what God has said before. It's not some new plan or technique. It's quite simply what the Lord has said. What God says today is the same as what God has said, because God's record is complete. And everything that we need for truth, for life, for godliness, for ourselves, for our homes, and for our families is found in the old book. I know a man that's laboring for the Lord in the south of Ireland, and souls are being saved, and a new church is being built. And somebody was telling me that many people are saying, well, what's your secret? And he says, well, we just pray and we preach the word and we evangelize. No, but what's your secret? What package are you using, or what program are you using, or what have you brought into your church? Nothing. We're just praying, preaching the word, and evangelizing. It's not some new technique, it's the old paths. Now you'll notice in verse number 12, Manoah in partnership. How shall we order the child? And then in verse 13, Manoah in leadership, because the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. So Manoah, I'm holding you accountable for the actions of your wife and for the raising of the child. So Manoah is to lead his household. And we as husbands and fathers are to lead our homes, not only in precept, but also in example. As with Manoah's wife. Now, man is not a dictator in the home. Some people make that mistake and they say, well, the Bible says that wives are to obey their husbands and to honor their husbands and submit, and children are to obey their parents. So the father, he's just a dictator. And he roars and shouts and he rules with a rod of iron. Well, there are times whenever the father certainly lays down principles within the home, but he also has to lead by Christ-like example. Not the principle of do as I say, but not as I do. You see, Joshua led by example. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to lead by example. The same thing is seen with the life of Abraham in Genesis 18. The Lord said, Genesis 18:17, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he shall command and his children and his household after him. Yes, there's precepts, there's commandments that Abraham gives, but he will command them after him. He leads by example, not like old Uncle Eli that we read of in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. It says that his children were sons of Belial, children of the devil. They knew not the Lord. And they were sleeping with prostitutes. They were committing idolatry. They were gluttons. They were drunkards. And Eli left it for years before he rebuked them. And then ultimately he came in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and says, why do you do the things that you do? Not really rebuking them, but just questioning them. Never really nipped it in the bud while there was still time. So we still see the need, don't we, for discipline. Discipline in the Bible is biblical. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you read the book of Proverbs, there's much instruction and counsel for the discipline of children. He that spareth the rod hateth the son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And then Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14, withhold not correction for the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15 and 17, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Train up on a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old. And those are key words. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, children do need to be taught the difference between right and wrong. And I know that we're living in a society that makes that very difficult. We were speaking to a friend recently, and she had a son that got into a bit of trouble and found himself in hospital, and the social workers came round, and this little boy, he was only 14 or something years of age at the time, and the social workers came round and they asked this Christian mother, does your son drink alcohol in the house? And they said no. And the social worker says, oh, well, you can't put too many restraints on him. You need to introduce him to these things. That Christian mother says, well, my son legally is not allowed to drink until he's 18. Are you asking me to break the law? Give my son alcohol? What sort of principles are there? The law says this, and then the state come around and tell you to break the law. No, it's difficult, isn't it, to bring gospel principles into your home, to punish evil and to reward good. But there's no point starting, as it says in Proverbs 19, verse 18. Whenever they're old, we need to start, as it says, when they're young. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Sometimes Christian fathers and mothers say, what should I do now? Maybe in the late teens or early 20s, but there's been no discipline in the home and they're trying to start too late. Now, if we were like Manoah this morning, And we were to say, Lord, what shall we do? How shall we order the child? What shall we do unto the child that shall be born? What do you think God would say to us? In closing, three things that I believe the Lord would say to us. First of all, family worship. Have a family altar. Have prayer in the home. Have the reading of Scripture in the home. And have instruction in the home. Every Christian family needs to be acquainted with the words of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. I would encourage you to read it, study it, do your homework on it, read it whenever you go home. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt, thou, not the Sunday school teacher, not the preacher, but the father and the mother, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and upon thy gates. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. So in other words, have a testimony to give. That it's not just legalism, just laying down the law for the sake of it. But whenever your child says, Dad, why do you do this? Well, son, it's like this. I was a bondman, but now I'm free and the Lord has saved me. And so the father and the mother have a responsibility for family worship every day, together, and perhaps all of the family taking a part, offering a prayer, maybe singing together, reading a verse each. Not just a lay me down to sleep prayer or a little story at bedtime, but time spent. It doesn't need to be long, but just getting into the habit of having family worship. Family worship is just as biblical as public worship. You can argue it from Scripture as clearly as you can argue meeting together. Family worship, I believe the Lord would say, have a family altar. I believe the Lord would also say, attend God's house. God's house is important. You see, the temple, the tabernacle, and the synagogues were central to national life in Israel. And so should they be with the Israel of God, the Church of Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 87:2 that God loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. You see, the tribes of Jacob, they dwelt in tents. And they had family worship. And they met together and they prayed together as homes, as family units. But God says, while that is important, more important still, the gates of Zion, public worship. And it's so important, isn't it? Not to send our children to church, but to bring them to church as a family. And I believe the Lord would also say the same as he said to Manoah and to his wife. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb till the day of his death. Just as Hannah took a Nazarite vow for Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. And she presented her child unto the Lord, and she gave her child to God. Not just as some sort of ceremony, whether it's baptism or dedication at the front of a church, just to do the right thing, but every day present your children unto the Lord, because God has a greater plan and purpose for our children than we have. And we can trust God to do that which is right by our children. Teach us what shall be done unto the child. I trust that this is the prayer and the heart's desire and the interest of every Christian father and mother here this morning. 747 is our final hymn.